Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to the caramel frosted spice cake of audio we call the Newsbusters podcast. That was the dessert we made this weekend, and the memory lingers. Let's start today by noting the Fox News Channel debuted on October 7, 1996. So now there are 25th anniversary festivities about. Back then, it was a fairly quiet event on the media landscape, since it was just starting out. Nobody knew what was going to happen to it. At MRC.org, we didn't exactly mark it as a big event, although the idea of it was encouraging. The whole idea of, why don't we start a channel that just tries to be fair and balanced? That certainly set it apart, and certainly having that motto put everybody's teeth on edge. Well, how dare you suggest that somehow that's a model? So we liked that. But at the time, we weren't writing about Fox yet, but we did note that over on MSNBC, host Bryant Gumbel was touting Bill Clinton as the president who showed true character, while Ronald Reagan was a liar who caused enormous suffering. MSNBC debuted in July of 1996. I think he said this on a show called Internight. Isn't that cute? The internet was new, and that was their idea of a clever show title, Internight. The networks at that time, in the closing weeks of the 96 campaign, were hammering Bob Dole for being nasty. For example, on the rope line, one guy shouted to Dole as he shook people's hands, "Please get Bozo out of the White House!" Dole called back, "Bozo's on his way out." Now, the media is routinely harsher than this, but oh well. They all treated this like, Dole gets nasty. This is the apple cart that Fox News turned over. The idea that we spent most of 1996 watching the media as Clinton was touted by all the other networks as, oh, he was ahead by 17 points, 18 points, 19 points, while Dole was dismissed as this cranky old sourpuss who wasn't energetic enough in denouncing people who called the Democrat a bozo. Dole ended up losing by 7 points, but he was covered like dead man walking for months. This is where Dole and John McCain were very similar. They were both like creatures of the Washington establishment. They were very routine guests on the Sunday morning shows, happily welcomed as sort of establishment moderates. And then they ran for president, and the media just completely turned over on it and was like, this can't happen. Well, we like Fox News precisely because it breaks the monopoly and the monotony of the liberal media. Those people don't get to set absolutely everyone's agenda. They don't get to constantly put conservatives on defense and then have no idea what it feels like to have to go on defense. If you want harsh talk about Fox News, well, obviously, you can start with CNN. You can start with the reliably liberal show Reliable Sources. Ryan Stelter on Sunday wrapped up the show at 11:58 Eastern Time by expressing disgust that this channel exists. It's like when I went on this channel, National Empowerment Television, in the mid-90s, and they had a Democrat guest, and she said, "I wasn't sure whether I should show up today because I really don't like the fact that this channel exists." This, my friends, is the liberal media mindset. Every media outlet should agree with us. Every media outlet should be for progressivism. Any media outlet devoted to conservatism is somehow a terrible thing. Stelter tried to mock Fox by saying it devolved into the beating heart of the grand old party.
But the network evolved or devolved into the beating heart of the GOP, a heart with clogged arteries and weak muscles. It's the network that brought us inspirational stories about the military and middle America, but also smothering patriotism after 9/11, and a portrayal of the USA that seems stuck in a time warp.
Now, I'm not going to go exactly where Nick Fonda Caro went by mocking Brian Stelter's dieting habits and his whether he has clogged arteries. No fat shaming here. I'm a little too fat. But mocking the opposition channel that kicks your keister down rating street on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis is a really interesting analogy coming from CNN. Let's have some fun with this. Let's sort of count the ways of what Stelter is saying is wrong. First of all, who is CNN to say another network is far too aligned with a political party? As usual, they have to fall back on the idea that almost every media outlet has clogged arteries for the Democrats. They're all pumping out liberal partisan talking points. Fox seems alone. It somehow stands alone. It is the outlier, so it's the cloggy McClogheart. The overall sound you get from this is the liberals wishing this conservative channel had never been born. They wanted it aborted like Ralph Northam took it outside, made it comfortable, and then made sure it didn't happen. Then you have to say, beware a liberal who tries to shame you about smothering patriotism, especially after a traumatic event like 9/11. This is the same species of liberal that was happy, for the Democrats, that Obama approved the takedown of Osama bin Laden years later. Then they hated the people who surged into the streets after Osama was dead, cheering USA, USA, USA. Oh, that was just distasteful. They found that disgusting. They love Obama, but they don't want Obama causing people to feel patriotic. These are the same people who hate patriotism every 2 years at the Olympics. What are they going to do now? Summer Olympics in 21, Winter Olympics in 22. Way too much patriotism. These are the ones who won't wear flag pins or say the Pledge of Allegiance. Ill. These are the ones who make heroes out of quarterbacks wearing cops or pig socks who kneel during the national anthem. That's somehow not described as smothering contempt for patriotism. This is the same CNN where Ted Turner wanted to fine people for using the word foreign or foreigner on television. What did you call the band Foreigner? Maybe they just couldn't be mentioned on CNN. Ted Turner celebrated America's most tyrannical enemies. I guess that was the way that he countered the patriotism. He did interviews providing aid and comfort to Fidel Castro. He embarrassed Wolf Blitzer by touting North Korea for being energetic in their use of bicycles. That's called turning starvation-level poverty into a positive. And then what's this stuff about a vision the USA was stuck in a time warp? Fox is selling a time warp. They're stuck in the 50s. I mean, let's guess the shorthand here is Republicans warmly remember when the country was united. You know, when all the black people couldn't reliably vote. And nobody would use the term pregnant people. This may be too old a reference for Brian Stelter, born in 1985. But it has that echo of the beginning of the show All in the Family with Archie Bunker singing about didn't need no welfare state, everybody pulled his weight. Gee, our old LaSalle ran great. Those were the days. I had to look that up. Actually, LaSalle was an automobile in the 1930s. So I think the welfare state was already going then, but you get the point. Then there was a part in there where Archie sang, girls were girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. See, they just got a kick out of that because obviously Herbert Hoover or Calvin Coolidge were joke presidents to liberals. Not like Franklin Delano Roosevelt putting all the Japanese in camps. Those were the days. Stelter had more contempt to offer about the darkness of Fox.
But for all the fun, there's also so much darkness in Fox's history. You won't see Roger Ailes in the retrospectives, but his abuse of women, his leg cam, his paranoia, his rage, it's what translated into the network that exists today. Full of rage, anger. It's the white lash on TV, although often delivered with a smile. Ailes also brought us Donald Trump.
You can lament the way Roger Ailes treated women, but it's a little odd to find all the darkness over there, Brian. We're there at your own CNN. You have Jeffrey Toobin unpunished for spanking the monkey on a Zoom call in front of the females. You have Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon both accused of sexual harassment as well. Where's the darkness in CNN's history? You can find the darkness of sexual harassment at CBS and NBC and NPR. Oh, and at ABC when Chris Cuomo was squeezing butts when he was at ABC. One study in 2018 reported about 41% of women in media and entertainment say they've been sexually harassed by a colleague or boss at some point in their careers, the highest rate among white-collar industries. So if this is a media industry problem, isn't it interesting that Stelter's trying to say Fox is somehow uniquely darkness? As we've noted, Fox is the only network that these casting couch exploiting Hollywood harassers made a movie about. Bombshell. Then there's this note about rage and anger and paranoia and white lash. This is the way liberals describe anyone who criticizes them. We know with Brian this is shorthand for Trump. Somehow he suggests there's no such thing as rage and anger on CNN on a daily basis. There's no such thing as paranoia about Russian collusion or paranoia about democracy dying in darkness. In white lash, that goes back to Van Jones when Trump was starting to win on election night.
I mean, we've talked about everything but race tonight. We've talked about income. We've talked about class. We've talked about region. We haven't talked about race. This was a white lash. This was a white lash against a changing country. It was a white lash against a black president in part. And that's the part where the pain comes.
Well, white lash tends to mean anyone who criticizes Black Lives Matter and their radical agenda. Somehow Stelter can't imagine that CNN stokes rage and anger and paranoia among black and brown people about racist cops, about border patrollers on horseback with their apparent whips, because that just manages to help with voter turnout. It may not help them much with ratings, but it certainly helps with DNC messaging. But let's just take an example of why Fox News is important for the health of our media system, for a little fairness and balance in the overall picture, so it's not so hopelessly monotone. Scott Whitlock, our newly minted research director, noted that last Tuesday, Vice President Kamala Harris appeared at his alma mater, George Mason University, in nearby Fairfax, Virginia. Harris nodded along as a student spewed hate about the ethnic genocide committed by Israel, apparently, against the Palestinians. Let's listen.
I see that over the summer, there have been, protests and demonstrations in astronomical numbers standing with Palestine. But then just a few days ago, there were funds allocated to continue backing Israel, which hurts my heart because it's an ethnic genocide and the displacement of people, the same that happened in America. And I'm sure you're aware of this. And I bring this up also because of the issue of how Americans are struggling because of lack of health care, public health care, lack of affordable housing, and all this money ends up going to in funding Israel and backing Saudi Arabia and whatnot. And I think that the people have spoken very often in what they do need. And I feel like there's a lack of listening, and I just feel like I need to bring this up because it affects my life and people I really care about's lives, and this is just something I had to bring up.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. And again, this is about the fact that your voice, your perspective, your experience, your truth should not be suppressed.
So Kamala says, your truth should not be suppressed. But oh, it was suppressed. Scott looked at all the news and found this appeasement of misinformation and bigotry was ignored by ABC and CBS and NBC and MSNBC. It was a left to a few outlets like Fox News, Fox Business, CNN, OAN, Newsmax, and the Times of Israel to cover this moment. Yes, you heard right. CNN did report this for about 6 minutes on the shows of Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer. Tapper said, "Harris upset supporters of Israel by failing to correct a student who falsely accused the country of genocide in a question to the vice president. Groups such as the Anti-Defamation League argued that allowing smears of this kind to stand can incite violence against Jewish people all over the world." Yeah, see, that's the sort of spin. When you say something, when you use an accusation like genocide, it's often common for groups to say, "Oh, you're inspiring violence with your commentary." You know, the way Jim Acosta says, you say the word fake news, you're encouraging violence against journalists. Even political reporting on this didn't get any attention on the other networks. Political reported on Thursday, the vice president's doing damage control. Her office is working behind the scenes to mend relationships with pro-Israel Democrats after not pushing back on a student who, in asking her a question, accused Israel of ethnic genocide. Yeah, even so, MSDNC host Lawrence O'Donnell, on the day this happened, actually talked about Harris at the George Mason campus. He even played a clip of her arguing for voting rights, but he didn't mention this ethnic genocide bit Israel junk at all. The Harris visit came up again on MSNBC on Sunday, but again, nothing about the Israel bashing. This is where we could use a little Fox News. FoxNews.com actually reported an Iranian state media outlet promoted a clip Thursday of Vice President Kamala Harris praising a student who just accused the U.S. of funding Israel's ethnic genocide against Palestinians. How nice. Vice President Harris serving up anti-Semitic things for Iran state media to enjoy. So let's wrap this all up. Let's put a bow on it. Back in 1996, when Fox News was born, Bob Dole is being trashed as nasty for repeating the mockery that Bill Clinton was bozo. But today, they all find it okay for Kamala Harris to nod along as Israel's compared to ethnic genocide, like they were today's little Hitlers. That's why you come to Newsbusters. You got to get the counterpoint. You got to see what they're not doing. The most pernicious bias is bias by omission. And there's going to be a lot of things like that as we go through the Biden years. Or maybe it'll soon become the Harris years. And then how will they explain they didn't cover this? This is why you come to Newsbusters. Come check us out once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.